I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Live from the Varos Centenary Cannibal Sheepdog Trials, we present a wheeze and groaning sound, which we believe to be the only Doctor Who podcast in existence. My name is John Rain, and joining me to point torches at the chests of bad actors are Tom Meenan and Paul Litchfield.
Hello.
Hello.
So keep your laser eyes peeled. And pray silence as we go for a Jondar wonder with our before mentioned laser eyes and watch and wonder if television would ever stoop so low as to ask the people of a country to use their votes to help ruin it. Yes, it's Vengeance on Varos, which contains only 10% vengeance.
Yes. Yes, yeah. This whole thing should have been actually called Redemption on Varos, really.
Yes. Yes, it should.
But we'll get to that, I suppose.
Yeah, or what Salvation on Varos.
Yeah.
Yeah, Salvation on Varos, very nice.
Freedom on Varos. You could have had many names, but Vengeance on Varos makes no sense.
No sense at all. Yeah.
But we begin. We need to know what was on telly that day.
Yeah, but do you know what? There's something I need to get off my chest straight away.
Okay. Jason Connery.
Sorry. It's Syl. I mean, what? I mean, he's like a goblin's cock. He's like Godzilla's bell end. He's like a mouldy ribbed condom. He's like Frankenstein's cream horn. A poisonous comma. A terrapin's beret. A fart in a conch. A homeless courgette. A sneeze in a thimble. Oh, thank God, this is all out of system. It's all out of your system.
Frankenstein's cream.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, but it had to be said.
Homeless courgette.
I'm so sorry, John. I'm so sorry, but it had to be done. It had to be said.
I'm glad. I feel like we can move on now. That would be hanging over the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. An emerald turd. Hang on. No more. Oh God. Anyway, God. If you were watching BBC One on the 19th of January, 1985. That's when you would have seen the first episode of Vengeance on Varos. And what a shift in tone we've had since our last episode, which is in 1980. 5 years have passed, and oh my word. Oh my giddy aunt. If you're watching BBC One on the 19th of January, 1985, in the morning you would have had The Littlest Hobo.
Oh,
remember
maybe
The Littlest Hobo?
We'll keep on moving on.
No, I'll want to settle down.
Settle down.
Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on.
Truncated it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It says this. The dog finds a bit of a ring. So that was The Littlest Hobo. And then there
Dirty
was Grandstand. Weatherman, Grandstand. Mm-hmm. Doctor Who, Vengeance on Varos. At 5:20...
That's all right.
You can't put it on at five. No, you can't. Not this.
Oh,
you
I
can't
see.
Put no, yeah. that on at 5:20. Anyway, 5:20. Vengeance on Varus.
Vengeance on Varus.
A little bit later, you have the Little and Large Show.
Oh, hooray! Wonderful.
Yes. Eddie and Sid are joined in the studio by Jeff Capes.
Oh, who looks like Eddie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would have been one of their skits, wouldn't it?
Oh, I bet Eddie would have come out in a beard and said, hey, Sid, which one's which?
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Then he, would have done his then he would have done his deputy dog, and then everyone would groan. No, I can fucking tell which one's
that's
which.
The episode where Jeff Capes ripped him in half.
Eddie comes on dressed as a Yellow Pages. And unfortunately for Jeff, it's like an instinct. He immediately just rips him in half. His entrails all over Sid. He just looks at the camera and goes, anyway, on with the show.
It's Jeff can't help it. He was programmed by the CIA.
Yeah.
Of course.
He was part of Treadstone.
Jeff Capes, part of the Treadstone. Anyway.
Is that is that the episode where they also had Christopher Reeve on? And he fists Jeff Capes and then says, real heroes wear capes.
Christ, I haven't any coffee on my keyboard.
I was going to say that if Jeff Capes was in Treadstone, it would have been called Crazy Paving.
Oh my God, if that was a carry-on film, that's exactly what it would have been called. Yeah.
He was part of the Crazy Paving program.
Oh my God.
We sent him to Budapest where he ripped up spies.
Tore them in half.
And pulled the truck over him with his teeth.
The milk churn over one. It was amazing. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. That's almost a separate podcast, John. So after the Little Large Show, and of course it was the last episode since poor Eddie Large got ripped in half. Jeff Capes.
Jeff Capes then got fisted by Christopher Reeve.
At 7:15, just after the Little Large, John, do you need time to get through this?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You're all right now. Okay.
All right.
At 7:15, you had One by One, a serial in 12 episodes based on the Zoo Vet books. That's what it says.
Oh.
On the Zoo Vet books.
Who's Zoo Vet?
Zoo Vet.
I don't know. maybe they mean Sue Vet. They spelled it wrong. It's episode 3. And it just says this. And it looks, this could be actually what they're trying to describe as a Doctor Who episode. It just says, the light-fingered vampoms. I'm sorry, what? What? Uh-huh. The light-fingered vampoms create problems for Donald Turner. But are they only pilfering? Mm. What?
Potentially.
I was going to say, wasn't Zoo Vet in a low, a low?
Crepes Zoo Vet.
You stupid woman, can you not see she is pilfering from Donald Turner?
Can you not see I am fondling a much younger woman?
I will say there's only One by One.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice. That's very
full
nice.
Circle.
Yeah,
very nice. At 8:05, you had Dynasty.
Ah,
nice.
And listen, it must have been a corker because Fallon has regained consciousness, only to find she's paralysed.
Oh no! Wow.
Adam reverts to form.
Oh,
I don't know what that means, but he reverts to form.
Is he like Manimal?
Simon McCorkindale, who can only turn into a panther, an eagle, or a mouse.
And a snake.
And a snake. That was all he was contractually obliged to turn into.
Yeah.
Like, can't you turn into a dung beetle this episode? No.
Never mind. My contract.
So if you're watching BBC Two, nothing exciting until the very time that Doctor Who was on, and you could have watched A Vous la France, the 12 for 15 programmes of French for Beginners. Patrick Simpson-Jones shows us how to say what you've done.
What you've done.
What you've done. Is that like if a French policeman comes up to you, you have to explain what you've done?
What you've done.
Pardon, le murder. Anyway, so that was Vous la France. And then at 2020, you had a documentary called Television and the Presidency.
Oh, that's very 2020.
Yeah. It is.
Yes. Yeah. And it just says this. Just who does Ronald Reagan's makeup?
They didn't know how good they had it, did they?
No, they didn't.
They didn't know that Ronald Reagan looked like a like perfectly normal compared to the blooming Cheeto in chief we have now. If I get too political.
Yeah. No, you're right. Donald Trump, the man who's wearing a fucked croissant on his head.
He's got speaking of fucked croissants.
He's got sill on his head.
Sill made me physically feel ill. Genuinely made me feel ill. Oh, he's a repulsive character.
Should we get into it?
Let's get into it. We start with Jason Connery, who is a fine actor.
bit of the Lawrence Fox about Jason Connery.
You're absolutely right.
Some vibes, but yeah.
Yeah, like a sort of white flag wearing breadstick.
Yeah.
Very odd.
But we didn't know his political beliefs. We just know he's not a very good actor. He's tied up in a dungeon and he's being tortured with tiny spotlights.
Yes.
Which sums up his career. And he's being laserized.
He is. Absolutely laserized.
Yeah.
And I think at 5:20, what better way to begin Doctor Who with just brazen open torture and TV dinners?
Yeah.
That's BBC Sunday night.
It's unbelievable.
Meanwhile, in Gogglebox.
yes. Well,
Ken Master from Howard's Way comes home. He's called Arik.
Arik.
He comes home to moan about the size of his dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his wife talks about how the governor, it's going to be time to vote soon. They've got a big
Is it his wife?
Unless they're like
roommates. Because she clearly fucking hates him.
Yeah.
In my experience, that means it's your wife. So they've got a telly and there's buttons either side of it saying yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So in those days, don't know didn't get a look in.
Yeah.
Should we have made Vengeance on Varos? I think I know.
You've used up both our votes. Too fucking right, I have. He comes home to complain. He can't sleep because he needs to go and vote. And if he says to her, "You can vote for me," and she says, "What? And be taken away by the poll police? No thanks."
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, well, you won't tell anyone, will you?" She goes, "Yeah, I bloody will."
Mm. This is the worst Colin Baker story since the last one.
And he has to go and deal with something because he's got a terrible Araction.
Very nice.
Meanwhile, up on
the... He's the only man who can press the vote button from 2 foot away.
There's your vengeance.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, up on the TARDIS... Perry's moaning at the Doctor. Basically, he's shit.
Yeah.
Since Talos, he's caused 3 electrical fires. He got lost. He got lost in the TARDIS 3 times.
In the corridors, and burned
their dinner last night. And I thought, what do they have for dinner?
Well, the joke is they had a cold supper.
She wanted a cold supper. Yeah, cold supper.
That's a funny joke.
Yeah, it's one of them jokes in Vengeance on Paris.
It's a hilariously funny joke. And Perry finds the TARDIS manual, which is like a sort of how-to manual.
That prop is a sorry old thing, isn't it?
It's very sorry.
Dreadful,
old.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It literally says in the front, TARDIS manual.
Yeah.
Could you not spice it up a bit?
I know. Give it some Gallifreyan like circles or something.
Exactly. It should have been round anyway, really unwieldy pages all round. It should have fitted Gallifrey. Yeah, it should have had an ornate leather banding. Come on.
Yeah.
But no.
We know
it's
very
basically
well.
Basically the Oxford Collins dictionary that they took the dust. Yeah.
We know very well what it should have been. It should have been a plastic book that's tinted green.
Yes.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Something
yeah.
like our exactly. Hitchhiker's right. Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
You're right.
Not a fucking big thick book.
No.
Or even the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy itself, just like an iPad type thing.
Yeah, they didn't have much.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, just... sort of seeing into the future and being like, I wonder what reading material will be like in the future. Just like, big old book. Big old book
with TARDIS manual written on the I don't know about you, but if I was playing the Doctor, I wouldn't be very happy about my first scene being, you're a fucking useless idiot. You've broken the TARDIS and you got lost in it 3 times.
Yeah.
But that's like... often the sort of trope of the assistant, isn't it? To go, oh, doctor, you crumbly, mad old fuckwit. You can't get us anywhere. You may be the cleverest man in the world, but you can't do up your own shoes without getting lost. Oh, you little tinker.
This poor fucker can't find his shoes and that thing.
I love it as well. He encounters the slightest amount of difficulty, like a tiny amount of difficulty, and is like, well, I'm going to die then. Yeah, absolutely gives up.
But meanwhile, down on Varos, meet the Galatron Mining Corporation's mentor and the representative, whose name is Syl. Who, as Paul described him, as Frankenstein's cream horn. Known as from now on.
Of course.
Right. No, he's also a Terrapin's beret.
Oh yeah.
Godzilla's bed end, a fart in a conch, and a homeless Godzilla, you
know. I am gonna go out.
And a sneeze and a thimble, if I'm being generous.
Nabil
I can't
Shaban.
Stand him.
He's so good though. Nabil Shaban.
No,
is...
he's brilliant. That's the thing. He's absolutely brilliant at it.
The fact that he creates something so awful that you're like, oh god, that's grotesque.
I think it's the most odious character ever on Doctor Who. He's the most odious, horrible. I mean, it's just a shiny green turd that's into torture porn.
and he's greedy.
And he has no redemption. He doesn't even have a comeuppance.
No. Well, he does.
Really.
Apart from you've lost a mining contract.
Yeah.
He sits there in his own sweat and piss, eating eating bogeys out of a pet.
He gets going, Colin to...
all the time. It's fucking horrible.
Colin does a shit pun at him at the end. So that is some of his comeuppance. Yeah, is Colin doing
you
a
green
terrible
shit.
Pun.
You look like a jealous turd.
Jealous turd. So yes, he's meeting with the governor, the lovely Martin Jarvis.
Yes. All the best. Martin Jarvis.
His voice.
Hello,
so
everyone.
Calming.
All the best. Martin Jarvis.
I've got to go now. Hello. I've got to go and do the voice of Huxley Pig.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. I'm the governor. Governor Vidal Sassoon. Governor just for men. How are you all?
He does the voice of Alfred in one of the Batman games.
Oh, really?
He does, yeah.
That's really good.
That's good.
Anyway.
All the best. Martin Jarvis.
All the best. Alfred Pennyworth. But basically, Syl wants him to lower... He wants to lower the prices.
Yes. Mm.
Of precious ore.
Of Zyton 7 ore.
Zyton 7, which is quite vital, apparently, to the TARDIS now.
Zyton 7 or what, I'd say.
Hey! You would be the most popular man on Varos.
but the way they're getting more money in is they're selling videos of them killing people.
So this is the we want to recreate almost 1984 Brave New World Orwellian.
Yes. Bit Running Man as well. Although the entertainment, when you look at them and they're not watching the Doctor, because we're obviously watching Doctor Who, and it's also a comment on us, god damn it. But when they're not watching the Doctor, they're watching two men in nappies fighting.
Yeah.
which looks amazing.
Which we'll get to. That is the most pointless bit of threat that's walk Doctor, man or beast. Two men in nappies going, jog on, you pricks.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be cannibals, apparently. Cannibals? Why are you wearing nappies?
Paul, I'm a big fan of the Cannonball Run.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
But it's called the Punishment Dome.
Mm-hmm.
But Syl basically says, well... You know, if you don't pay, we'll wait for the next governor because you've got an election coming up. We'll deal with that.
Yes. They give the impression that a governor lasts anywhere between 3-4 days to maybe 2 weeks tops. Why take the position? Yeah.
Why would you want it?
Why do you want it? Because what it entails is also awful. You get tortured.
Yeah.
Unless you're good, though. If you're good, you don't get tortured.
But, how do you improve people's lives? They all live in these horrible little, judging by Sheila Reid in these horrible little bunkers, how does anyone have fun on Varos or think, oh, my life's getting better?
They really don't, do they? Because they, it seems like they toil all day mining. They go back to a shithole to watch torture all evening and then have a TV dinner and start again.
Paul, doesn't that say something about society? Though,
isn't that mankind? Whoa. Or should I say man cruel?
Yeah. Because also, I want to bring up something about this. I would, if I was Ken Masters from Howard's Way, I would say to the people of Varos, can we have doors, please?
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a door, yes, but it's just four planks.
It's four planks.
Big holes in them. If I wanted to get jiggy with Sheila Reid later, brackets, not that I would.
Yeah.
So everyone could see and hear me. That's all
I was
saying.
I was in the nuddy yesterday doing a salute to the sun, and people could see right through the Keogh and up my Keogh. Quite frankly, I don't know. Please put a buggy door on this domicile.
And I'm not saying my room's small, but I put a key in the keyhole and it killed Syl.
I'm not saying this room's small, but the best way to get in is to be born there.
But meanwhile, up on the TARDIS, the TARDIS is out of power and they're stalled, as the Doctor calls it, in a sort of galactic lay-by.
And this is when the Doctor decides to just sit down and go, well, that's the end of all my adventuring. Well, I've decided now. I've had enough.
And then he says to her, it's all right for you. You'll die. I'll keep regenerating here for infinity. I thought, yeah, this is a really exciting trip you're on here.
Perry just has the worst time forever, right? She's the worst treated companion by far.
Yeah, by far.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah,
well, apart from all of Pertwee's, who we know you're secretly trying to kill.
Yeah,
but she's stuck in space in a spaceship with a man who's tried to kill her at least once.
Yeah, and they're like, "Well, you'll just die."
She's like suffering from who's suffering from eternal depression and is dressed up like the fucking Quality Street rappers.
But then,
take me home, please. Take me home now.
Yeah, so he's depressed. That's where we leave them. And then back on Varos, Syl has a meeting with King John from Maid Marian and Her Merry Men.
Yes.
he also doesn't have a name, does he? He's just he's called, what's he called? Something like second in command man.
He's called Chief. Is he Chief Officer?
Chief Engineer? Chief Officer? Yeah.
Chief Officer, yeah.
He looks like he's in a tribute act to Right Said Fred. Yeah.
but yeah, he's basically what the governor doesn't know is that King John from Maid Marian and Her Merry Men is in on it with Syl. They want to take over Varos, essentially.
Yes.
There's a bit that I've been so looking forward to, which comes up now, and it's because I get to hear an impression again. It's one of Tom's finest that I've ever heard. Because this particular episode was one of the most complained about episodes on the BBC. Because essentially, it features laser torture, hanging, genetic experiments, acid baths, endless death. And I tell you, got very upset. Your favourite, and I can't wait to hear the impression again, it was Mary Whitehouse.
What did she say, Tom? I was very distressed to see two guards drowning.
No, but what was it? It was absolutely disgusting.
Disgusting. It was foul. I can see it still in my mind's eye.
I was just about to vote yes or no for an episode of Little and Large when Eddie Large had been ripped from arseholes and nose. And I dropped my crotchless panties that I was knitting for his nibs. And shat down the side of the linoleum in absolute terror when I saw the acid bath. My husband had to go back into the shed to resume making a glory hole or whatever he called it. And I had to go back upstairs with a hot cup of Bovril and my vibrating double-headed cunt snake.
Fucking hell.
I'm really sorry, I don't know where that came from.
We're going to have to make a decision about how explicit. Toby Haydock will not be happy about that.
I'm really sorry, Toby. But we're not talking about Doctor Who. We're talking about Mary Whitehouse here.
Oh, that's true. I'm sure we find
she was very upset with it, and a lot of people complained the fact that it was on so early, and the whole thing is about torture and death. And
stuff. Yeah. We should say that Toby very nicely said some nice words about it, so thank you, Toby.
Yeah.
Thank you, Toby. Well,
and this is where those nice words stop.
But I do look forward, Toby, to you going round and doing the Varos cookbook.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The marshmallows. Oh, yes, yeah. Please.
Oh. My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So meanwhile, the governor goes, well, I'll put it to the people. And he goes to the people on telly and says, please vote for, in Martin Jarvis's voice, please vote for a 10% reduction in food rations to hold out longer for a fair price from the Galatron.
That's right.
Yes.
Would you like to eat today or never eat again? Yeah. All the best.
And unfortunately, everybody says no.
No.
I'm hungry. I'm fucking hungry.
So then he's exposed to a potentially lethal human cell disintegration bombardment. I had to write that down.
No idea what that does. No. But makes you feel very special.
Makes you feel. He's like, he's going,
Yeah, that does look a bit orgasm-y, doesn't it, at the beginning?
Oh, I won't be doing that. I won't be doing that again.
I say, do you mind awfully if you install one of them in my quarters?
I intend to make some very bad decisions in general.
And you want me to sign this chitty, do you? Of course, all the best.
Meanwhile, Arik, so Ken Masters from Howard's Way, he loves it. And he would be, and I've put here, I'd be very much in favour of this happening to our government. Theresa May would have had nothing left after the amount of losses she...
He's very much the Citizen Smith character, isn't he? Up to in Broadway! He's very much, Viva la Revolution!
Except he's terrified of being killed, so he does that, like, kind of down his shirt. And looks around to see if anyone's listening. Because his Sheila Ward would fucking grass him up with the drop of a hat.
Oh, 100%.
Well, she'd dob him in immediately, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she would.
Yeah, to the Pole Police.
But Syl is livid because the governor survived the procedure.
Oh, he's in a semi-permanent state of either being so livid or coming in ecstasy at the idea of watching people die.
I mean, Syl would write some cracking. Syl would write some cracking Telegraph columns, wouldn't he?
They would all be in that weird broken English he has. Because he can't see, his communicator's broken, right? So he talks in this weird way. That would be quite fun.
He says, good morning!
I was just pissing by.
When I heard a shit. Yeah. Syl's livid. And King John from Maid Marian, Merry Men, tells him, negotiate now. He's weakened. So Syl wants to negotiate now or never. And the governor wants time with King John to talk about it. And I've written here, this is so fucking Theresa May. It hurts. The referendum is literally killing him. The will of the people are causing him to die inside. Yeah. This is what happened to Theresa May. At the end of this, Martin Jarvis would just go out and say, the first country.
He'd probably say, on closer inspection, not all the best.
But the a guard suggests killing John Dar in 10 minutes because it would sell DVDs, basically. It would be a blockbuster.
And the guard, isn't the guard Owen Teal?
No, that's the guard later.
Oh, that's the later guard. Owen Teal, of course, who's recently popped up in Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
He has,
From the Night's Watch.
That's right.
Nice watch.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. And actually, he's not too bad in this. This, for me, Vengeance on Varos is a mix between good acting, you know, and just you're either a good actor or you cannot act.
Yeah.
You cannot do it at all. And there's nothing in between.
No middle ground whatsoever. No.
Vengeance on Varos suffers from one thing as well. It's utterly pointless and redundant. It has no plot.
No.
The Doctor needs to get some ore. The end.
That's it.
There's no. This is what we're going. Basically, an alien misses a contract, and the Doctor gets some ore.
A contract that has nothing to do with the Doctor. He has nothing to do with those trade negotiations.
There's no vested interest in it. There's no threat to anything else. There's just a little slimy bogey crook trying to make money than he should. He doesn't manage to get that. The Doctor goes. That's it. Yeah.
Do you remember that episode of The Big Bang Theory? They argue that if the Doctor hadn't done anything, that the outcome would still have been the same.
Yeah. You made no impact on it at all.
Jesus wept.
Meanwhile, Perry, she gives the Doctor the TARDIS manual, as discussed, and he literally can't be bothered to read it.
Yeah, he'd rather let her die.
Yeah.
Read!
And then he's like, oh, and she goes, oh, the TARDIS moved a bit. And he's like, oh, it's probably the flash.
Residual energy.
And then he goes up to it and he starts tinkering. And then he goes, don't give up hope yet, Perry. Hang on a minute. Stop doing this to me. Stop gaslighting me.
Yeah, he's a real gaslighter, isn't he?
Doctor, you're so bipolar. It's you're really in trouble. And one minute you're slapping me in the face and the next minute you're giving me spaghetti. Stop it.
And then the governor goes on telly and says that tonight, everybody, John Dar will die at 8 p.m. just after Wogan.
So, coming up later on, Varos, tune in at 8 o'clock. We'll see what's going on John Dar. Yeah, it's a real. It's the scheduling is very ad hoc.
But first, here on Varos, it's a Barris took us with points of view.
I was absolutely disgusted.
Well, we're going to be checking in with the two men in nappies fighting in a bit later, but first it's...
Well, it's double trouble now here on BBC. New comedy with Harkus and Paces.
Who, of course, were in Doctor Who later on.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So they're going to execute John Dar. Because he transgressed the rules, and a guard who is a friend of theirs, who's called, hang on a sec, Rondell.
Rondell.
He does exactly what he says on the tin.
I bet he goes around going, "You've been Rondelled, mate." They're all like, "I fucking hate that Rondell so much."
He goes to see John Dar's wife and tells her that he's going to be executed.
Looks like Alice Lowe from Garth Marenghi.
Yeah,
she really
does. She got an A in Harvard.
let's also talk about the fact that whenever all these people are going to and fro to deliver messages and orders, etc., because this is such a, I mean, Varos is such a horrible dystopian world, isn't it? Of endless torture. And the guards, they travel around in heavily armoured golf buggies. that go at a tremendous speed of 4 miles an hour.
Oh my goodness. There's a bit where Colin Baker gets in one to travel five meters. It's amazing. Yeah.
They've come straight from Run the Gauntlet.
Yeah.
And they're on there. But yeah, she says that the reason John Dyer's been punished is that he found a secret place where people, they put mad people. Wear nappies.
Also, no wonder they're mad, because you make them go through the purple zone or the green zone. And you basically trip their tits off.
And
what doesn't help is when they're doing stuff, this bald fella's looking through a slot playing the harmonica.
Get out!
Can't turn into a nappy wearing cannibal. Get out!
Oh my god!
When you said found a place they put mad people, surely the only thing is then for Terry Wogan to go, and they call that place the BBC canteen.
Yeah, that would have been it. I think you'll find that's the old BBC writers' room.
Meanwhile,
Mrs. W's kitchen.
King John from Maid Marian. Yeah. He goes to see John Dar, and I just put here: King John meets Robin Hood.
Yay! Well, that's fun. That's really fun. Yeah.
Nice. he tells him the good news that due to sedition, he will in fact be executed. So he tells his guard Meldak, who is Owen Teal.
Yes.
To turn on his anti-hallucination helmet and guard him. And meanwhile, the doctor has fixed the TARDIS for a limited flight, because what they need to make it work is some Zeton 7 ore.
The only place that has it
is Varos. And he goes, oh, we want to go there pre whatever it was, because they're still mining it. So they materialise, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Lovely materialisation. Oh. Beautiful.
Right next to Jason Connery.
Who has had his hood taken off, so he's not quite the hooded man. Oh. Bum, bum.
And they appear next to him, and that's when Meldak says, my helmet's malfunctioning because I'm hallucinating.
Yes.
Yeah, again, okay, yeah, if you want.
meanwhile, King John from Maid Marian and Mary Mary, Syl and the Governor, all the best.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Martin Jarvis.
Watching telly because they were going to watch John Dyer's execution.
Of course.
And this is, I've put it here, Syl goes tongue happy.
God.
He's just sitting there going, for ages. It's like,
is this where he's also getting his guards? He's getting his guards to wet him down.
Yeah.
God, it's fucking horrible.
Yeah. So Meldak,
it's just a chrysalis full of phlegm, isn't he?
He's a Christmas cracker full of shit. Meldak meets the doctor and Perry, and he's like, well, I'm clearly hallucinating, and doctor being the doctor says, yes, that's why we're here.
Yes.
Take the helmet, and then he just goes to fight him. He walks in front of John Dar, who then knees him in the back, which knocks him out completely.
Yeah,
there's a lot of very easy to overcome people in this episode, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's lots of, I've put a small, I don't know, piece of blue tack on the floor and you tripped over it with your plimsoll and now you're dead.
Turns out he had a fatal heart condition. Yeah. So they free John Dar, and as we're about to run away, King John from Maid Marian and Merry Men turns
and
up.
Right Said Fred.
Turns up with all his men, and the doctor turns on the laser, which he uses to free John Dar, by the way.
Yes.
Because he uses a magnet, like a magnet you get in a cracker, like he found at the end of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. they turn on the laser in the direction of King John from and all his men. And one of his men just goes, "Oh, that's a nice light."
And vanishes.
Yeah.
Ooh, that can't be a hallucination. I'll have a closer look at that.
He
vanished on Varos.
The doctor, just another person who the doctor kills in this story as well.
Yes.
One of many. The body count that the doctor is accruing in this episode is amazing.
It's the Colin Baker era, isn't it?
He's like
Hambo.
Yeah.
uh, And this is when, as they're running away, they then, because there's only one set, they run straight into John Dar's wife, Anne Rundle.
Yes.
Who has now agreed to help them.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Eric, Ken Masters from Howard's Way, and Sheila Reid, they are loving it. This is proper Gogglebox. Oh. He's like, this is brilliant.
Yeah, because it's like something's actually happened. Because previously they were just going to watch like Jason Connery just like get melted.
Yeah,
and then what do you do?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Well, and you don't even get the satisfaction of that. They just fade away. They just fade. That's
but
it.
He would have just
watching the same torture every single day for months, years.
Yeah,
just someone shining a fucking torch on them and then they fade.
Yeah,
which is lovely. I hope that sells well. It's a repeat. You're just playing repeat all the time.
So, meanwhile, the Doctor and everybody run away, and this is one of my favourite lines I've written down here. The Doctor exclaims, "Let's see what this purple passage has to offer."
Yes.
Perry's
oh
like,
my
oh.
god.
He tried that on me last week.
And this is the first of the 60s Hey Man crazy montage.
Yeah.
They go slow motion, wow, man.
Well, we got a giant fly.
Yes, a giant fly. Oh, no, it's a Geegee fly.
Mm.
And then the Doctor says, close your eyes. And Perry goes, I can't. Really? And then he says, take everybody take hands and let's walk through. And then they come through that and Perry goes, oh, what a stench. Doctor should have gone, I'm sorry, that fly was really scary. but it's a pair, you hear a monster's growl and then two eyes appear.
Yeah.
And everybody gets scared and the Doctor like goes, well, there's only one way to find out what it is. And he goes, it's just a pair of lights.
So basically, if you're watching this, if you're Sheila Reid and you're watching this, you've watched someone be scared of a overhead projector,
and
of then, a fly,
of a fly, and then just two,
and two,
that's
two
not good
torches
TV,
put on a wall,
as this is proving.
No,
yeah,
but then
yeah.
Jason Connery says the best line of dialogue in the whole episode, which I'll have to read out in his way. Just like Comtech designed to put a real monster immediately beyond an imaginary one.
Yes.
What?
What is going on there?
I had to put the subtitles on and dictate that because I thought, what?
Well, see, I'm very familiar with that line because that line was edited in, there was a Doctor Who documentary called Resistance is Futile.
Right.
Resistance is Useless. Mm-hmm. And I remember I watched that over and over again and that was one of the clips they used. Yeah. So, yes, just like Comtech designed to put a real monster immediately before an imaginary one was,
it's
a
so
brilliantly
clumsy.
Delivered line. It's such a clumsy line.
Yeah.
But so is the entertainment clearly on bloody Varos. It's like, oh, did you see yesterday's show? They walked down this corridor and this giant salmon appeared, but they hammered that. They got past that and then, unbelievable, there's a big loaf of bread and it was made of tin and it fell on them. What? Yeah, that's and then the day before, it was really scary. They were all wandering down the corridor and there's a huge... and they thought it wasn't real, but it was real. And then someone played on their head, and then that was that one. And then there was another one where there was a gecko, and he farted on them, but that wasn't real. And then there was a canoe, but it was full of guns. Oh, it's amazing! Just what? This most pathetic set of things that they set up.
You'd be really annoyed if you both made it out of this Varos. And you were comparing notes. And you're like, "What did you do? Oh, I had to. There were these poison ivy plants, and there was all this horrible stuff, and there were these cannibals that tried to eat me. What about you? Oh, there was a thing that looked like a big fly, but it wasn't. So I'll be honest, I was
tripping off my tits. I saw an insect, and then I saw two battery powered torches. It was an absolute nightmare. I do not want to talk about it. I do not want to talk about it.
but talking of the running man, Eric and Sheila Reid start saying, "Oh, I like these."
Mm.
So they're gaining popularity. And I've put, rather than the running man, this is the walking bloke. Because they go back to where the TARDIS was and it's gone.
Gone.
Syl and King John from Maid Marian and Merry Men and Drop Dead Fred. Yeah, they have it and they're trying to get in, but obviously TARDIS-esque likeness, they can't get it.
Yeah, they even fire the weirdest special effect lasers at it.
Yeah.
They're awful. They're like, well, we've got this setting. Shall we use this one for a change? Well, the one that's firing out little LED shapes.
Yeah,
that'll open it.
That's the one.
But the Doctor goes down a door, and as he goes around the corner, Perry and everybody else carry on walking, and then Meldak arrives on his golf buggy.
Yeah, and they all get lost in the same corridor. It's amazing.
How they manage it is incredible. And
How did they do it?
He slaps Perry with his glove.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah. And again, this is on a tea time. Teal. Mm.
Yeah.
So they capture it, but they say take those two to the termination centre or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm.
No, they're going to the interbreeding area, aren't they?
Mm. And he says, take Perry to the control room. He doesn't say Perry, doesn't know her name.
No.
Meanwhile, the doctor has accidentally walked into a no-option kill centre.
A no-option kill sector. Wow. And we get hot, sweaty doctor action here.
Well, this is sexy.
He starts getting undressed, and I notice he's got question mark braces as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a kick in the teeth, isn't it?
That's
just
awful.
When you thought, I'm almost expecting his top button to come undone, and he's got a question mark St. Christopher. All his hair has been shaved on his chest into a question mark.
All his pants are covered in question marks. I think that's what they are.
Yeah.
It might be gravy.
All I know is a rather smelly form of punctuation.
He's shown a mirage of Perry drinking water, and he's dying of thirst. And I put here, Colin then does his best impression of Tom Baker 10 minutes before the pub's open. And then our cliffhanger is that the doctor is clearly underlined dead.
Yes, no question.
He's been killed via a hallucination of Blackpool Beach. He's dead.
Yeah. I'm fairly sure that's Cromer. Yeah, it's a real. It's especially if that was the death of
Cromer
the doctor.
Key.
Hello. Very nice.
The chroma key to time.
Yes. So Perry's very upset, and the governor and Syl explain that he died of thirst. And then she says, "What is that thing?" pointing at Syl.
Yeah.
And the governor's like, "Don't. That's a bit rude." I'm like, "No, that's fair enough.
I'm with Perry all the fucking way."
Yeah.
What the flaming fuck is that?
Yeah.
Step on it and kill it. God, it's horrible.
Meanwhile, the doctor's been taken to the acid bath morgue. And Ken Masters from Howard's Way and Sheila Reid are watching it, and they're like, "Oh, it's a shame. I liked him." And then she goes, "Oh, he moved."
Mm.
Yeah.
And then as the guards are dumping a body, Ken Masters from Howard's Way is always like, "Oh, they always do this."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the doctor just appears behind them and says, "Hello."
And one of them
inadvertently causes one death for definite.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then gets a gurney and wrestles with him and sort of causes another death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's two people dissolved.
Horrible, horrible death. And he does a little Bondy quip. He goes, "Oh, forgive me if I don't join you."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's literally his James Bond moment, isn't it?
Yes.
Good if he just stood up.
Where he's
on
doing
the
that.
If he stood on the raised platform by the bath and just started urinating in it.
whilst giving the camera a middle finger.
Yeah.
Jesus,
literally, this is getting dark.
I'm literally pissing on their grave.
too much acid reflux? No.
The score even does a little wah, wah, wah.
Torture acid. Death.
So, King John from A Marin and Merry Man and
My Sir Fred.
He tells the governor the doctor has escaped. And then he is immediately, and I mean this, immediately arrested by Quillam, who is like the chief scientist.
Quillam.
The government says that the doctor...
Dr. Quillam, medicine bastard.
He's brought him a Quillam memorandum.
Yay!
He decrees that the Doctor and Jondar will be executed by hanging.
Yeah, traditional hanging. Yeah. They haven't had a traditional hanging in a long time. So this is like a sort of, next up on Varys TV. Oh, we're going back to the classics. Going back to the classics we are. Nice bit of hanging.
But this is where I think Colin is brilliant. Because it feels like he's ad-libbing, but he's probably not.
Mm.
But a priest is giving the last rites, and he just walks up and goes... he walks up to him and goes... Do you always get the priest parts?
Yeah, yes. That's fun.
I enjoyed that.
Also, it's so like Catholic English. All about to die now.
Does he literally say we are gathered together in the sight of the ancient video?
Yeah.
I think he says the word video or something. Like, okay, I get it.
He says, Varos 4, Tottenham 0.
Half-time changes.
But the governor wants
oranges
the truth.
Oranges at half-time.
He wants the truth from the doctor, because Perry told him, but he didn't believe her. And he says to the doctor, I want the truth.
Yeah.
And the doctor's very, sort of, not very forthcoming with it. He just says, he says, well, first of all, they order that Perry and Arita, who is John Dar's wife, they're going to have, they're going to have, I want to be called Aretha. They're going to have horrific scientific experiments.
Yes.
With Quillam.
Oh, my God. And what does Quillam try and do to poor old Perry and Aretha? Well, he tries to turn Perry initially into a barn owl, and he tries to turn Aretha into a turnip.
And then the doctor says, who are you, to Syl? And Syl says, what interest can my presence matter? And I wanted the doctor to go, well, you're a fish bloke, mate.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
It's pretty, it's pretty interesting.
And then as they're taken up to the gallows, which I read in the trivia, collapsed initially.
No, that was true. Yeah, it collapsed in rehearsal, and they were very happy that they didn't have their heads at the nooses at the time.
Oh,
yeah.
You would be, wouldn't you?
but apparently the nooses weren't connected to anything.
No.
So right, even if they are, but it would be quite a scandal.
Yeah.
The new Doctor Who won't be back.
Also, suddenly, Vengeance on Varys actually becomes, in reality, what it's now parodying.
Yes.
You can sit at home and watch genuine people getting killed making Doctor Who.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Imagine if it was The Crow and Vengeance on Varys were the two, like, we lost our lead actor in these.
This is only a year on from Tommy Cooper, so.
Oh my goodness!
Well, there you go. Yeah.
They would have had to get Les Dennis to come out in front of the in front of the gallows to do his act.
Oh, I don't really know.
Dustin G would have come out and gone, I'm Robert Mitchum, and everyone in Varys would have gone, who's that?
That's the first time I'm Varys where every single person in the population press know.
Yeah.
And next week on Varys' Opportunity Knocks. I'm sorry you weren't successful this week, but now you will be killed.
This is finally the opportunity for Syl to be on tonight, Matthew. I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Oh. As discussed, he was going to sing Kiss from a Rose.
Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah. He'd be good as Cher as well, because he could do his own vocoding.
Imagine Syl going. Imagine Syl. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
He'd have done a very good cover of Crash Test Dummies.
If I could turn back time.
And he's wearing what Cher wears in the video, which is basically a seatbelt.
Sitting on a cannon.
Yeah.
Squirming around on a cannon.
And he falls off.
with loads of Varos engineers going.
And him and throwing their hotel keys at him.
Jesus Christ.
What's that Dane Bowers Victoria Beckham song?
Where out of like, your mind.
They're out of your mind. That would be a good sort of song.
All together in the floral dance.
Oh, no. He's Meg Wogan's only song.
Ah, shut up in your face. He's just about to be home.
There's a little clang, clang, clang,
God, make him stop.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm getting overheated.
I'm just remembering Tom talking as Scylla and saying, oh no, not
Roll.
You know, I went to a restaurant and Syl was in my seat, and the arrogance of that man, he refused to move. A bit of tweet humour there for listeners.
Yep. He didn't even offer to push me seat back. I noticed he was sat in a high chair as well.
Kids menu, please.
I've heard it's unlimited Coca-Cola refills. Yeah,
all right.
God.
TGI Fridays on Varos.
It'll be TVI, wouldn't it?
Oh, hello.
Yeah, TVI. Yeah, nice, yeah.
Thank Varos, it's Friday.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Right, what's right. Happening? Right, so
the doctor's at the gallows, and the priest then bangs out Gregorian chants, volume 3.
Yeah. No, that's what I call Gregorian chant.
This is not available in the shops. The doctor then questions the governor about Syl and his extortion.
Yes.
And offers to help with the Zyton 7 stuff. So,
yeah.
And this causes Syl to ask his guards to sort of go and get the lever.
Mm.
Yeah, go and execute him now.
Because Syl says,
and literally, Syl is working himself up into a frothing frenzy of death, and he's so disgusting. Again, hats off to Mr. Neville.
I wonder if that green paste that he's eating is sealant.
No, just because he's such a horrible, evil little fucking tick. I can quite easily think he's eating his own shit.
The line he says, which is thing. When he's getting all upset, is he goes, "Stretch him out of this life," which is such an odd phrase.
Sealed with a kiss. but it's all a farce because the hanging was a sort of bluff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the doctor knew it was because the cameras weren't turned on.
Cameras weren't turned on.
Clever.
Yeah, that's what
on,
it says.
On.
But he says, and then he says, "I'll help you to the governor on one condition that Perry and Arita are returned."
Yes.
But I'm afraid that can't be done because the process cannot be stopped.
That's right. Yeah,
according to Dr. Quillen Bastard, medicine man, wherever he is.
They say it's too far advanced.
Advanced. And now Perry's no longer, because I thought initially, she's being turned into a bar now, of course. But now she's sort of being turned into a peacock, it looks like.
Yeah, it's unclear what bird she'll be, isn't it?
Well, because she's starting to develop blue plumage, so I was imagining peacock.
Well, she's pining for the fields.
It reminded me of that wonderful Elliot Kalin Spider-Man panel that he wrote about why you could cure cancer. I don't want to cure cancer. I want to turn people into lizards. That one. Quillam is very much, with all this technology, you could make your own. Or something. I don't want to do that. I want to turn women into birds.
Yes.
He's the he's the professor on the fast show, but I want my tower.
Yeah, exactly.
I want my tower.
But the doctor.
But we do get that lovely. Yeah, we do get that lovely reveal though of Quillam. He's been experimenting on himself as well, hasn't he?
He's got this mask on.
He's all sort of mashed up.
But the doctor considers how best to save the ladies and decides just to blow up the control panel.
which is a risky maneuver.
Which just fucking works somehow.
Yeah.
And it reverses the process. Which Quillen will be livid because he was hoping to get their eggs. And then Perry wakes up and goes, "I thought I could fly. I thought she was turning into fucking Orville."
Yeah.
Orville and Cuddles.
But, and the doctor goes, "But you can't."
Yeah. I can.
You can.
And then Aretha comes in and he goes, "Oh, I ate that duck."
That would be amazing if Quillen was actually turning into Orville and Cuddles. That was the big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I don't know. The fact that Arita just keeps doing that face that Cuddles does. That. And for the rest of the episode, Doctor has to carry Perry under his arm. Rundle has to carry Cuddles on his shoulder.
If they continued it, if they continued down that line, then obviously he'd be on the ostrich pretending to ride it.
Syl's basically Emu, so it all works.
Yeah.
Emu makes an appearance.
Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Perry. Oh, stop it, Perry, Colin says. Stop attacking Michael Parkinson.
Suddenly becomes the Royal Variety Show in 1952. Oh, Christ. Then suddenly Bob Carolgees is the new governor with spit.
You shouldn't spit at Syl. That's very rude. Apologise.
No, Syl would like that, wouldn't he? He'd like to be spat on. Because that would be lovely.
He'd have loved punk, wouldn't he? He'd have been in the front row of a Sex Pistols gig, just going, oh, lovely.
I can imagine still attempting to surf the crowd. He's just been fucking sleeping bag full of cake. Sleeping bag full of cake. Tossed around.
Sleeping bag full of cake. The four of them, Perry, Doctor, and everybody else, they go into the punishment dome towards the escape route. Mm. But Perry, because she's still weak from the process,
she obviously fancies a bit of trill or something.
What is that? What did you say, Perry? Yes, you want a cracker?
Perry wants a cracker.
So Perry's captured.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she's taken to the control center again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Syl gives the governor an ultimatum. He says, look, you're fucked, basically. You either accept the price or, you know, we'll go somewhere else. King John from Mary, Fred. And Syl, they kind of make their move, hoping that he'll lose the next vote and it'll kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can take over Varos and control of the ore. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Doctor, in his new sweet ride, takes John Dar and Arita about 6 feet to make their way to the end zone.
On his pimp my golf cart.
Yeah, which he stole from Liberace. But the vote starts, and he starts getting bombarded, but Meldak... Mm. Who the governor gave a talk to earlier about, you know, one day you could be the governor and this will happen to you. So where does it end?
All this could be yours.
Yeah.
No, thank you very much.
What, the curtains?
You could be tortured every single night.
Yeah. Fancy.
Don't you want the job?
No. It's like when they wanted to find someone to take it from Sid Little. Where does it end?
I'm not working with anyone else. I can't.
I literally can't.
This was the audition process to see who would be Les Dennis's new double act partner.
What, Vengeance on Barrels? It's a strange way for the BBC to cast things.
Yeah. It works.
Well, they made other TV shows.
They made David Tennant do Casanova, so it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, we think if you'd like to take over the part of Robin of Sherwood, then you need to be in Doctor Who being tortured by light. Yes, that's what you're doing. Okay.
If you notice later on, you see Clannad being beaten with sticks in the background. they're then
that
chased.
Was nothing to do with Varos. That was common sense.
Nothing to do with Varos. But Meldak, so he turns off the bombardment machine.
Yeah.
And says, I'm going to help Perry and you to go and meet up with the Doctor and stop all this. So meanwhile, are chased by two old men in nappies.
This is amazing.
It's incredible.
Just imagine walking down a tunnel and two old men in nappies jump at you.
You would just literally go, fuck off.
Yeah.
You literally get your hand and just push them against the wall. Will you get away? I'm very busy.
It'd be like that joke that Stuart, you know, the joke that, oh God, what's his name? Joe Pasquale. Stole.
Oh, yeah. You
know, people often say to me, what's that man doing in my garden? You know,
that's
what you'd have with two old men in nappies.
What are they doing? Yeah. You'd be like, are you all right? Do you want to... Is your nurse
again,
around?
This is supposed to be Varos's threats. Some flyers at work, the big salmon did nothing. The cock and spiel, they just played and had a good time. Two mad men in nappies? Do you reckon that might put the wings up someone? Yeah, let's try it.
Just you wait. After that, there is the ball pool.
Yeah, exactly. And the soft play area. Oh no! Not the
and the arcade machines with unlimited coins.
It's basically turning into Nobody Expects a Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the fluffy cushions and the comfy chair. It's all just, this is pathetic. Just let me, 2 days I could run that place properly. I mean, it wouldn't be nice. It would not be nice. But fetch, it could do what it says on the tin.
Fetch the warm baguettes. Yeah, because then we also meet the deadly fauna.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes,
which
yes,
links this
yes.
a bit with Megloss, because we get another...
Yeah, a bit Debbie Fauna.
Yeah, it might be a second cousin, twice removed, once convicted.
Yeah, but these plants are weird, because you just seemingly have to touch one, and then you die immediately.
And you
instant death.
Which the cannibal is very much like, oh, all right, I'll eat this bloke then.
Yeah,
it goes off with him.
Happy ending.
He's literally been given a packed lunch. It's perfect, isn't it? There you go.
I mean, but I liked
for the doctor. For the doctor to avoid being killed to death, stungy, sting, sting. Mm. They what was it? They brushed some of them up with some rope.
Yeah. I like to cut back to that cannibal eating the other cannibal and just looking to camera and going, "It's what he would have wanted."
Yeah.
straight into camera too. Tastes like chicken.
He liked telling jokes. That's why he tastes funny.
Hey.
The chief and Quillam arrive and are like, "Ha ha! Now we will kill you!" And instantly walk into the plants and die.
They all just die instantly.
Yeah, I'd imagine instantly walks into the very plants that he himself designed.
Yeah.
He and does say, "Sorry."
They're all the second tier baddies all at once. It's useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
They all get killed by either touching it or just being behind someone who got touched by it, because two of them fall down. They haven't even been touched by it.
Oh, and Quillam even says, "I see you have found our interesting fauna."
Yeah. So they know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
let me just immediately start brushing my hair with it. Oh, no, I'm dead.
I mean this is so badly written. I expect when it comes out on Blu-ray there'll be an hour-long documentary about what the writers were like.
I'm here at Liverpool Street Station.
I'm here at Kew Gardens.
Yeah.
No one knows I'm here and I'm probably going to stay forever. So they all make their way back to the control center and reveals the invasion force and the ones that he's asked his men to spray him extra watery with so they look nice when they come. The invasion force is coming to take over. However, just as he's dining out on that, the doctor reveals this. No, is it the governor reveals this message?
No, Martin Jarvis.
Yeah, Martin Jarvis.
He says, I'm afraid I've just looked at the telecast prompt and it's not all the best for you, Martin Jarvis. because they've actually cancelled the fleet. Poor show, old chap. They're going to a nearby asteroid. All the best, Martin Jarvis.
Yeah, they found this ore somewhere else, basically.
Yeah, so hang on. So this invasion fleet now flying billions of miles an hour to kill Kokoko. Oh no! Hang on! It's over there. It's fine.
We'll deal with it.
Yeah, divert their attention.
Well, and one of them's like, "Why didn't you look there before?" Well, I didn't think.
Didn't bloody think.
Oh, sorry, everybody.
Oh no.
So basically, they say their message says from Martin Jarvis that they will
all the best.
That he's been ordered to accept any price.
Yeah.
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 And that's when Martin Jarvis
could go the like completely the wrong way.
Yeah.
Minus 500 quiggernews.
Why didn't he? Martin Jarvis goes 20.
20? Yeah,
where's... said 5.
Yeah.
Syl now is eating the bloody furniture now with his...
Yeah. Well, he says, "Give me water." And the doctor says, "I think he needs more than water. Perry, eh?"
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What they should have done, if you want to get rid of slugs in your garden, they should have just poured salt on him.
Yeah.
Well, I've written here that Syl, he complains about being left. He says, "Don't leave me here." I've put here, Syl presumably was then drop kicked out of a big window.
Well, this is the problem, because Syl doesn't have death comeuppance that I think he deserves. He deserves it. And I was just saying, I think that if I was writing it, the slaves would have done it. They would have turned on him. You've lost all your money. The way you treat us is appalling. And they should have thrown him into the acid bath, or even better, put him into the transmogrification and they can turn him into half fucking slug. have Anita Dobson, whatever he wants to do.
They put Seal into the transmogrifier and he comes out looking like Chris Hemsworth. And he's like, oh no.
But still got that voice.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes out as Ronnie Corbett.
Yeah.
Well, that was a wonderful sketch. And now, please let's welcome the musical adventures of Nabil Shabab.
But then the governor says to the doctor, thank you so much. You've been very, very good. Thank you.
We've immediately seen the error of our ways that we've traditionally been doing for thousands of years.
All the best, Ron Jarvis. Is there anything we can do for you? And then the doctor's like, well, some Zyton 7 ore wouldn't go amiss. Mm. He says, you shall have what you want.
So that's nice.
Yeah. And then the governor does a message to all the citizens and says, basically, we're doing away with all the torture porn.
Yeah.
And all the executions. And we're going to be a nice, peaceful, happy society. And Ken Masters from Howard's Way says, oh. And then Sheila Reid goes, that means we're free. And he goes, does it? She's like, yes, it does, you thick bastard.
But does it, though? Like, if someone said, we're cancelling a TV show, you wouldn't be like, I'm free now. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? We've just decided we're going to cancel our entire way of living, our entire culture.
Yeah.
So see you tomorrow morning. Do I finally get a fucking door?
That's first on the list. Do you think it's like when TV Centre turned into flats, like years later everybody on Paris is like, you know, there's probably someone having a cup of tea where Jason Connery got his knob shot off.
Yeah. Where those old nappy men lived. Yeah. This is actually a nappy man flat, you'll be delighted to know.
Yeah.
A nappy man flat.
Although we should say something did happen in this flat, though we're not obliged to tell you exactly what it was, but
all we're saying is don't use the attic.
This would make an ideal room for two old nappy men.
we were thinking of putting
them in a home, but we were also thinking of putting them in nappies and locking them in the attic. We'll take it.
Lovely houseplants. Don't touch them. Don't touch the houseplants.
No, I'm going to slug on that one.
Not sure I want this place.
That would be a Japanese war lily. that's dreadful. So the Doctor and Perry go off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the end. And
that was the end of what was not Vengeance on Varos.
Yeah. Vanished on Varos, I'm going to call it from now on.
Vanished on Varos. We got there. We got there in the end.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
We did. But we've got some correspondence.
Oh, good.
Hang on before correspondence, John. You've got to set the ball rolling when we vote for this.
Yeah, I completely forgot the rules.
Would you like to give it a number out of 100 Frankenstein's cream horns?
Yes, I would, yeah.
Yes, I thought you might.
I would say that it's, with the Colin ones being what they are, two massive chunks of 45 minutes. Ooh. They're quite difficult. Mm. And I would say that it's got an idea that's not executed very well, pardon the pun. And some of the acting's not very good. It's a bit shoddy looking. So I'm going to give it 45 Frankenstein cream horns.
45.
Yeah. Frankenstein cream horn. Wow. Okay.
I think I would err towards being more generous to this one.
I think Tom's going the other way again.
I think I know. Yeah. I think I'm going to say, but not too much. Like it's not. It's still Vengeance on Varos. But it does whip along. So I'd give it. I'm going to give it 58. 58.
Oh, okay. 58.
Frankenstein
cream horn. I really didn't enjoy it, and I don't. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it. I don't know. I just didn't. There's no real threat. I mean, there's bits of threat. They're seeded through that. Oh, the doctor's going to walk through the hallucination now, or he's going to be eaten by the hallucinating fly, or he's going to be eaten by the hallucinating sand dune, or he's going to. And it's all just, and he appears just to retrieve something, and there's no sense of threat, there's no sense of what you normally get in Doctor Who is, I'm take over the world, or blow up the galaxy. and the most odious villain that I've ever witnessed in Doctor Who just turns out to be like a greedy little fucking tetsy fly. It's just and he doesn't get killed. I so needed him to be killed, and he doesn't get killed.
Yeah, he survives two stories. And yeah. They've made a new one, haven't they? I don't know if he dies at the end of that.
Yes, apparently, yeah. So, and I just the idea of an Orwellian society vote yes or no is a really nice idea. It doesn't go anywhere. And the whole idea of torture doesn't really work because it's all so pathetic. Yeah. I didn't really like it at all, and it just didn't satisfy me. So I'm going to give it a 30 Frankenstein's
cream. So
sorry about that.
133 Frankenstein's cream horns for Vengeance on Barros.
Before we move on to correspondence, I just wanted to read you guys something that made me laugh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reviewing the story in About Time, Tat Wood described it as, like channel zipping between a radical fringe theatre and children's television. He praised the script, and the production design, but saying the story gets more marks for effort than anything else. And then he said, if someone wanted to understand what it would be like living in Thatcher's Britain, they should watch this. And then said, imagine a world where this could be immediately followed by Jim Will Fix It.
Oh, dear. That was one of the... That's something else up the Purple Passage, isn't it? That's Jimmy's just waiting up there.
Yeah.
So, it's 9 o'clock. It's BBC Two. It's time for Up the Purple Passage. this week, unknown to her, Sue Lawley finds herself up the Purple Passage.
So correspondence. So... James Eccles at Jim Deckles says,
"Hello, Jim.
I hope this episode isn't just full of silly impressions.
Got bad news for you, Jim.
Hang on for a sec. What's this guy? Song of the Os says, are you recording for to Doomsday straight afterwards, please?
No.
Are we?
We're not.
No.
Unless someone chooses it, but we don't normally do that. We normally flit around.
Yes. Flit around eras.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tim Coleman says Varos has its moments. Martin Jarvis's orgasm machine. Many great hats. Horny Syl loving the torture porn. And the last lines are fun. But Doctor being a dick stroke killer. Endless trade negotiations. That shit little car. Nappy men and the Perrier water pun make me want to fall in an acid bath.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't say, looks like he needs some water. Maybe he should go and see a play at the Volvic.
At the old Volvic Theatre, yes, okay. Maybe you should go and try Bath Spa. Except another.
I think to fix the TARDIS, we'll need some water. No, sorry, I'll do that again. I think to fix the TARDIS, we'll need minerals. Minerals? Water? Perfect.
Wow, looks like Evian Syl is upset that we made it out of this one alive.
Harold Lloyd.
Yeah.
Looks like poor old Syl's in trouble. Dangling off a clock in New York.
How did
looks like
do
it's
that
curtains
scene?
For Syl.
Here comes Syl. Ben Thomas says this is the second of three consecutive stories featuring a Howard's Way regular. Morris, Tom Howard, Colborne was in Attack of the Sidemen, Stephen King Masters, Yardley is in this, and then Kate O'Mara is in Mark of the Rani directly afterwards.
Good one. It's a nice factoid.
No Howard's cast members in the next story, the two Doctors, but Patrick Troughton has probably been in Dulcie Gray at some point. So that counts.
Oh, God.
And then Jake Godfrey says, Syl is one of the most unsettling villains in Who history.
Yeah.
The recent spin-off, Syl and the Devil's Seeds of Arador, does prove, though, that you can have too much of a good thing.
I have not seen it.
I have heard of the plot of that.
I absolutely concur. There's something so unsettling about him. And it's all due to a fantastic performance. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He does it so well. He's so odious.
But I've heard the plot of the new one is that he's in a field with his family, enjoying a lovely picnic, when some big businessmen come over and run them over with a tractor, and he has to go on a gun-toting revenge mission.
No, really? Is that what? Because I've heard that he marries a Vervoid. It's an unhappy marriage, and he runs a hotel in Torquay.
I mentioned the war, but I got away with it. Right, yeah. Well, that, I think we've done as much vengeance on Varos as we can possibly imagine.
We can stomach. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're all off to do something else. if you want to follow the podcast, by all means, yep. Do. It's at Wheezing Pod. Please, mm-hmm. we'll announce on Twitter what our next episode is going to be. Please keep your correspondence coming in. It's very good to hear from you.
Yes.
It's always fun. Yes. Mm.
And thank you for listening. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's all go and point torches at Sean Connery for a change.
Torches? Torches?
I'm voting yes.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I don't know why I said the things I said. Rides like a knife, it can cut deep inside. Words are like weapons, they wound sometimes. I didn't really mean to hurt you.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Concessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hunton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Concessions.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.